Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. We have started a new series in Galatians, and I'm excited about it. And I was working on the sermon this week, and I got into the conclusion of it, and I went, that would have been a better way to go. So back to the drawing board I went and had to rework the whole thing. And so here we are. So let's go ahead and Galatians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 6 to 10. Verses 6 to 10 of this epistle. Paul is writing here, the Apostle Paul, and he writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes starting in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you, and we pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men of or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the words that you have just written, that we have just read, and we have just heard. We pray that they would be for our edification, that you would build us up in our faith. Father, we pray that if anyone does not know Christ as Savior, the day would be the day of salvation, that your Spirit would convict them of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. But Lord, challenge and convict us who know Christ the same things, that our lives might be wholly devoted to you, wholly used of you, and that you would strengthen our faith. Lord, give us understanding, give us wisdom, help us to apply and implement the scriptures in our own lives, in our daily walk. And we thank you for the grace of God that saves us, and the grace of God that sustains us, and the grace of God that helps us in our daily walk. And we ask your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, do you remember where you were in March 28th or 29th, 1984, when you heard the news? You're like, what news are you talking about? Well, it was a dark night. Snow flurries were coming down when Mayflower trucks were sneaking out of town and taking the Baltimore Colts to Indianapolis. I still remember it. And they were leaving. The team, the Colts, had abandoned the city of Baltimore. And whenever I see that horseshoe, all of that betrayal comes back. And I'm not even a football fan. Imagine those who are football fans. Imagine the hurt to those who are. And similarly, that's what Paul was talking about here, but on a greater scale, of Galatians who said they were believers and they turned their allegiance to a false gospel. Just as the Colts turned to a false city, a false team. I know we make fun of that, but still, it hurts. And they're still hurt when baseball players who have been with one team go to another team, or football players. And back in 1984, it was not really much heard of football teams changing cities like it is today. You know, you have what? The L.A. Rams, who used to be the L.A. Rams, who became the St. Louis Rams, who are now back to L.A. Rams. And then you have the L.A. Chargers, who used to be the San Diego Chargers. And you have this and that. And it's confusing. But back then, there was a loyalty that was established. And the betrayal that was there is sort of the betrayal that Paul is talking about when someone changes one team to another or one city to another. And what these Galatians were doing, they were transferring their allegiance from the true gospel of grace to a false system. of works. They were leaving Paul's team, and they were going to another team. And Paul was in shock. So in order to stop the Galatians from leaving, and those who left to return, Paul contends for the gospel. And Paul gives us a pattern for us to contend for the gospel too. Verses 6 to 7, we read these words. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. If we are going to contend for the gospel of Christ, we need to stay true to the gospel. We need to stay true to the gospel. And the gospel is clearly divine in verse 4. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Now it says here that Paul was surprised. He marveled. He was stunned. He was in awe that they were leaving the gospel. And the King James says here that they were so soon removed. Now that sounds almost not a big deal. Maybe passive tense, that something was happening. So they were so soon removed. But the Christian Standard Version of the Bible says that he was marveled that they were so quickly turning away. The ESV says they were so quickly deserting the gospel. And the New King James Version says that Paul was marveled that they were turning away so soon. It was not just they were being removed, but they were turning away. They were deserting. They were forsaking. It wasn't something that was being done to them. It was something that they were doing. They were actively moving away. Now, the idea here of turning away from the gospel, the word turning, which is translated as removed here in the King James, is they were transferring one's allegiance. They were transferring one's allegiance. Now, I jokingly used it earlier in the introduction with sports, but the term is used of soldiers in the army who would go fight for the other side. We would call them traitors. They would lay down their arms on one side, go over to the other side, and start fighting on that side. And the Galatians had come to Christ. They had put on the robes of righteousness. And they were now trying to turn back to the trash can to receive their old clothes of a works-based religion. And Paul wants to warn them here that when you transfer your allegiance, there are some consequences. First of all, he says in verse 6, the first consequence is this. You turn from God himself. They didn't think they were turning from God. But Paul says, you're turning from God yourself. You are removed from him that called you into that grace. That him has the antecedent that goes back to verse 4. You were called according to the will of God, our Father. So the Galatians were turning from him. They weren't turning from a set of principles. They weren't turning from a set of rules to another set of rules. They were turning from God himself. And when you turn from the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are turning from God himself. You're turning from the Christ who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this evil world. Now, people might say something like this. I believe in Jesus, but I have no interest in the Bible. Now, statements like this reveal that many people want to hold to God, but they want to abandon the gospel. They want to know God, but they want to abandon the idea that Jesus died for them. And when you turn from the gospel, you turn from God himself. So what's the big deal if we just change one religion to another religion, but if you're changing it from the true gospel to another religion, it's a big deal. And if you get rid of God, it's a big deal. If you get rid of Christ, it's a big deal. If you miss Christ, you miss it all. It's no small error. Small errors lead to bigger errors. Back in 1986, World Series. Bill Buckner was the first baseman for the Boston Red Sox. He was a very successful player, one of the best. And Game 6 of the series, the World Series, he let a ground ball go through his legs. And because that ground ball went through his legs, the Mets were able to win that game, forcing it into Game 7, where the Mets won that game. That missed ball led the Red Sox to losing the World Series. Do not let the gospel slip through your legs. Don't let the gospel slip by you. Grab hold of it in its entirety. If you miss Christ, you miss everything. So when you turn from the gospel, you turn from God himself, but also when you turn from the gospel, you turn from the grace of Christ. You turn from the grace of Christ. That's what he says here. You turn to the grace of Christ and to another gospel. Now, the grace of God, the grace of Christ is synonymous to the gospel. The gospel is the grace of Christ. Now, remember the false teachers that Paul is arguing against were called Judaizers. And what the Judaizers did, they said, we believe in Jesus, but you also have to do this. And specifically for them, you had to obey the Old Testament law. You had to be circumcised. You had to be circumcision. You had to come under the law, keep the commandments, keep the law. So to them, it was Jesus plus this. Jesus plus the Old Testament. But salvation, and hear me clearly, is Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Jesus plus nothing. When you add anything to grace, you destroy it. Any other message is not the gospel. He says here, and here's a little thing that you were thinking, you might not get the nuance here, but he says, you turn from grace unto another gospel, which is not another. Now, in English, there is one word, another. In Greek, there are two different words. The first word, the two Greek words for the word another are allos and heteros. In verse 6, he says, you turn unto another gospel. And the word he is using there is heteros, which means another of a different kind. And he says, which is not another, in verse 7, which is allos, which means another of the same kind. There is another of a different kind. Heterosexual is probably the easiest thing to compare. It's because two people who are different in heterosexuality, male and female, two different of different kinds. Allos is different of the same kind. So as I thought about this, I thought, how can I illustrate this? To me, it's apples and oranges. Let's say you have some Gala apples, a Granny Smith apple, Red Delicious apples, and Macintosh apples. And you say, I don't want the Gala apples, but I want another apple. I want an allos apple. I want something of the same kind, but another apple. But let's say you don't want an apple at all. You want an orange. You might say, I don't want an apple, but I want another, a heteros fruit. Something of a different kind. Not the same kind, but a different kind. And so he's saying, you thought you turned to a gospel of another kind, that it's the same thing, but you didn't. You turned to a gospel of a different kind, which isn't a gospel at all. See, some people think, oh, it's all church. No matter what they believe, it's just church. But when you change the gospel, you change it all. They weren't turning to a gospel of the same kind. They were turning to something that was completely different, that wasn't the gospel at all. They were turning from the gospel of grace to a system of works. And that is the situation that stunned Paul. That this was happening. These are his children. See, doesn't John say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in faith? Well, here is Paul's children, and they're not walking in faith. And he's distraught over this. See, false teachers do not usually create new converts. They steal other converts. And that's what's happening here. But I got to get here tricky just for the grammar, just for a second. He says, I am marvel that you are so soon removed. It is present tense. It is ongoing action. It is not a done deal. There is hope. There is hope for them to come back. And that's why Paul is vigilantly writing this. And maybe you know someone who knew the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were saved, but they turned to a gospel of works. They've moved to another church or another system of works. As long as they are still breathing, there is hope. There is hope for them to come back. Let us not stop contending for the faith. Stay true to the gospel. That's the first thing. If we're going to contend to the faith, we got to know what the gospel is, and we need to stay true to it. Number two, we need to mark false teachers. Look at 7b. But there are some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Mark false teachers. False teachers create confusion. False teachers create division. The word trouble means to shake or to agitate, to throw into confusion. Picture with me, if you will, what is that thing if you have an upright washing machine and you've got the little stick in the middle, what's that thing called? It's called an agitator. And if you were to watch your laundry go, it just throws things up and around and pulls them back down and pulls it back up, and it just agitates it. That's what false teachers do. They cause people to go to and fro and toss them all around and shake them up. And to distort the gospel is to destroy the church. Because the church is created and lives by the gospel. The greatest troublemakers in the church are those who wish to distort the gospel message. Behind every false teacher is the ultimate false teacher, Satan, who is a father of lies, who lives to create confusion, who lives to lock people in spiritual bondage. False teachers are usually benign in that they don't look any different than us. They act like us. They might eat like us. They're groomed pretty well. They don't look odd. They don't look strange. But they promote something other than the gospel. The word here, change or pervert or distort, also has an idea of they reverse the gospel. What do I mean by reversing the gospel? Well, in perverting the gospel, the word here denotes a radical change, like changing water into blood, or changing fresh water into seawater, or changing feasting in the morning or daylight into darkness, changing it into something completely different. And another way of rendering it is that they reverse the gospel. They don't just pervert the gospel, but they reverse the gospel. What do I mean by that? Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 real quickly. Keep your finger here. We'll be back. But I want you to see, because Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, gives us an order to the gospel. Not one that we have to debate, but one that is clearly given in the Bible. In verse 8, we are told, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Here is the order of the gospel. 1, we are saved by grace alone. 2, we are saved for good works. Reversing the gospel says you got to do good works before you're saved. That's not the gospel. That's reversing the gospel. The gospel is you are saved to do good works. It's not that the good works save you. There's an order. And all false teachers, pretty much all, 99.9%, reverse this. They all want to say it's by works, not by grace. There is an order to the gospel, and false teachers distort the message of hope. And we need to mark them out. We need to know what the gospel is so we can pick it out. So we know what the counterfeits are. And just sit there and maybe something doesn't strike you. Like, it sounds right, but maybe there's something off about that. We need to mark the false teachers. So stay true to the gospel. Know the true gospel and stay true to it. Mark the false teachers and the false gospel. Number 3, warn of the consequences of preaching and believing a false gospel. If you're going to contend for the gospel, you need to warn of the consequences of preaching and believing a false gospel. Look at verses 8 and 9. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached, we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as you said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that you have received, let him be accursed." Paul did not stutter. Now, in our age of computers, it's easy to copy, the paste, to duplicate, and all that. But with the price of vellum and the price of what it took to write on something, you did not take up extra space unless you thought it was important. And he thought it was important to repeat. Him repeating this is equivalent to underlining it, highlighting it, circling it, and drawing arrows to it. And if he had neon lights, they would go around it too. He's like, you need to pay attention to this. If anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. Because getting the gospel right is serious. It's so serious that Paul does issue this strong warning. Paul's warning reminds us of the sobering responsibility of getting the gospel right and preaching the right gospel. And Paul says, no matter who is preaching to you, if they get the gospel wrong, it's wrong. He says, I don't even care if it's an angel from heaven who's preaching this gospel, false gospel. If it's me, he's even said, if it's me or any of the other apostles who are preaching the false gospel, it is wrong if it is not the gospel of grace. And you need to reject it. The gospel must remain the priority. The gospel is essential because Christ's glory is at stake. The false gospel always glorifies man because they boast in human achievements. The real gospel only boasts in Christ. Look, if we were good enough and we could do enough and we could keep enough rules to merit eternal life, then we could sing about ourselves and not about Jesus. The gospel is essential because people's souls are at stake. The gospel is essential because the health of the church is at stake. And there is a penalty for preaching a false gospel. And there is a penalty for believing the false gospel. Now, the King James actually kind of softens it up. It says, let him be accursed. And you can read that in King James, Elizabethan language. Oh, let him be accursed. You know, you're like, okay. You know, some of the modern translations still keep it this way, let them curse. They kind of change it to, let the curse of God be upon you. And it's still kind of... But there's one version I turn to. If you have a Bible app, it's the New English Translation. It's NET. It is the most literal translation out there. In fact, it started as a computer project, and I think you can buy a hard copy, but it's primarily an online version. It's the NET, and it's the most literal one out there. And so I always go there to make sure I'm getting my literal part right. The Greek word is anathema. Even that sounds like nice, poetic. Oh, let it be anathema. But let me tell you what it really, the full severity of it is. It means to be damned. And the New English Translation translates with, let him be condemned to hell. That's a little more shocking than, let him be cursed. Let him be condemned to hell. Let him be damned to hell for preaching the false gospel, for believing a false gospel. That's how serious it is if we get the gospel wrong. Because that's what's at stake. Heaven or hell. It's a pretty serious consequence. If we're going to contend for the gospel, we need to stay true to the gospel. We need to mark the false teachers, and we need to know the consequence of preaching a false gospel. And finally, verse 10, we need to seek to please God. We need to seek to please God. See, part of the false teachers, when they came with their false gospel and trying to get these people to come to their side, they didn't just say, hey, this is what we're teaching, this is what it's true, what Paul said isn't true. They didn't just say what Paul said isn't true, but they started attacking Paul. They went after the messenger and the message. So Paul, in Galatians specifically, as he is contending for the gospel, he is also defending himself. In verse 10, he says, "For do I now persuade men or seek God? Do persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." See, false teachers seek the approval of men. And Paul is basically saying this, I preach this gospel for the approval of God. And basically what Paul was saying here is this, if my goal was for the admiration of people, if my goal was to please people and get their admiration, then I would have stayed a Pharisee. Because as a Pharisee, that's what I had. I had the approval of men. I had the approval of people. In preaching the gospel, you do not necessarily please men. Probably you don't please men because it's a hard message to preach sometimes. But you will please God. Serve Christ, not men. Seek God's approval, not men's approval. We need to seek to please God. And if we seek to please God, then we'll please the people who want to please God. The hymn writer put it this way, I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. The gospel of Jesus Christ is marvelous. But yet there is a fragility to it. It's entirely of grace. To add or subtract anything from the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the gospel ceases to be true. And so we must contend for the gospel. We must contend by knowing it and staying true to it. We must mark the false gospels and the false teachers. We must warn of the serious consequences of following a false gospel. And we must seek God's approval, not man's approval. We must contend for the gospel.